Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, do you ever wonder how you can get to know God more and more in your life? Do you talk to others, or perhaps do you go through the experience yourself that you sense that there is a bit of a distance between you and God, as much as you try and struggle to read His Word and to take time for devotions, that there seems to be a bit of a distance between you and God? We all go through periods like that. Or perhaps if you have a growing relationship with God, have you ever had someone approach you commenting on what they perceive to be your godly life and ask you, what's the secret? What makes you stay with, and how do you keep fresh your relationship with God? These are realities. These are questions that we have that are a part of our lives. For our message this afternoon, I want to see three things. First of all, I want to talk about the problem of knowing God. Now, I don't want to suggest that there's a problem in knowing God, but I want to talk there about the problem that has come up, which provides a need for us to know God. Somehow we don't know Him as we should. What's that problem? Why is that? And then I want to look at how God reveals Himself to us in a very general way, and then how God reveals Himself to us in a more special, specific, designated way to us in our lives. And we're going to use Psalm 19 as a basis for this in our lives. We need to identify, first of all, that a problem does exist. There is, after sin has come into the world, a distance between God and man. When God created the world, He created the world, and behold, it was perfect. It was very good. Genesis chapter 1. But something happened that broke that perfect, harmonious relationship between God and His people at that time, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And that something comes to us in Genesis chapter 3, we know, is the fact that Eve was tempted by Satan and quickly tempted her husband as well then to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan, the great liar, the great tempter, the father of lies, planted a seed of doubt in Eve and from Eve into Adam, and they fell for it. And with that comes sin into the world as they take of the fruit of that tree, thus breaking that marvelously harmonious relationship that existed when God had created the world. A broken relationship. By nature, we no longer know God because of that sin. God could have been, He would have been completely just simply to say, because of this, I'm going to send my creation and I'm going to send Adam and Eve straight to hell because of what they had done. He would have been perfectly just, but He didn't. By His grace, He set in motion a plan for the salvation of those whom He had called to Himself. And a part of that plan requires that those whom He has saved know who He is, and that the entire world have an understanding of who He is. So He had to reveal Himself in that way to us. This problem about our distance between God and us comes to us when we see that God is altogether now fully distinct from us. Article chapter 1 talks about this God, and it defines, of the Belgian Confession, defines who this God is. It's a wonderful definition. If someone asks you, how do you define God? Memorize this answer. It's a great answer. Long words. It'll give you an opportunity to spend a little time over coffee with them to explain what those long words are all about. It's a good outline. It's a great outline. And as we think that through then, we begin to understand, though, that there is a distance between God and us. God is infinite, and we are finite. We have limits. God has no limits. That's part of that difference between us. We are bound by time. You are born on X date, and you will die on X date. We don't know when that is. We are bound by that time. God is timeless, if you will. He is eternity. He was, always, is, now, and always will be. That's the difference between God and ourselves. We are weak and limited in what we are able to do in our world today, but God is all-powerful. He is present everywhere. He knows literally everything, even those things that we would shudder to know, that He is aware of these things. But we are not all-knowing. We are not all-powerful. We don't know everything, although we like to think we do. But that's a part of that difference, that distance that is between God and us. And that's something we need to come to terms with in our lives. We can't come to terms with that by ourselves, as much as we may try. The only way that we can come to terms with this is for God to take the initiative to say, I am going to show you who I am. God taking the initiative to reveal Himself to us. That's the reason why God chooses. In order to be able to fulfill His plan of salvation, He reveals Himself to us. That word reveal comes from the Latin word revelo, which means unveil or to uncover. It's as if God gives us a glimpse of who He is in order for us to be able to understand who God is. We will never understand completely. After sin came into the world, we will never, ever understand completely who God is and how He operates. Not until we get into heaven, where sin is no more. And we are restored to that perfect relationship that God originally intended for heaven and earth and its creatures. You and I. When we think this through, then it is that we begin to understand and know that God then comes to us and says, I want to show you who I am. He does that, first of all, in a very general way. When I look at the Article 2, I read the first part of that. It says, we know Him. In other words, God reveals Himself to us in two ways. First, by the creation and the preservation and the government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters, leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even His everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, all things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Paul acknowledges and recognizes. He says that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and that's where he writes this, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God shows Himself, reveals Himself to us in a general way. General in two different ways, really. First of all, generally, and that this revelation of God is available to anybody at any part and anywhere in the world. Everyone knows generally about God and they're left without excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. There's no excuse not to know that there is some being out there that is more than us, and that being is God. Now, there will be people who will put blinders on that and will suppress the truth, as Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. And try to hide the fact that this is God Himself, but everybody knows it, in general, that it is God. General also, and that it is only a general knowledge of Himself. It's a glimpse of His power, of His majesty, of the awesome character of God. It is done through creation. When we read the first part of Psalm 19, the first six verses, we get a glimpse of that. There we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth." Now, what we are talking about is the nature that God has provided for us, and we can't find a better example of that than today, as beautiful as this weekend has been. And to be able to thank God for how He has created nature. We are going through a transition in the seasons. That's awesome. That was set in motion by God. That was His design for this part of the hemisphere, for this part of the world. Not all parts of the world experience these four seasons. The countries that I travel to don't experience, they experience two seasons, rain and dry. Here we experience the four seasons. That's how God designed it in the different hemispheres by the laws of nature. We can look up at the stars. Try counting them. Children, when you're camping or at night, when it's a nice, clear day and night, count the stars, would you? Have you ever tried that? You get lost, don't you? The numbers are way too many. Count the sands that are on the beaches. Count every grain of sand. You can't. It seems limitless, because that's how God created things. Try to explain to somebody how a seed that is put into the ground actually then grows up and becomes a plant. Oh, you can give all the technical details that they would in, is it biology or physics? But the details of what's actually happening within that kernel of the seed that comes in the spring and now is being harvested in the fall is a design of God. There's no way that we can really begin to explain how that all works in spite of all the studies that scientists try to make. It just shows the awesome nature of God. And by looking at the flowers and then looking at the world around us, we just have an innate and a subconscious sense that there's somebody out there or something out there bigger than us. And we know that it's God. Whether we want to believe it or not is another thing. But we know everybody in the entire world, even those who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ or that don't have the scriptures in their language and the tribal nations that have not yet been reached, the unreached people groups, know that there is a God just by looking in general at the world around them. It talks about the sun coming up and going down. That's what verses 4, 5, and 6 are all about. Can you imagine if even for one day that cycle of the sun rising and setting doesn't take place? It's hard for us to imagine that because it won't happen unless you're in the far north when you have the naturals, the natures of law, the laws of nature in which there are periods in which there are 24 hours of darkness and in the other 6 months, 24 hours of sun. That's an amazing feature in itself. It's because of who God is and how He shows Himself to us in that way. When we look at that, then it is that we begin to understand the awesome world in which we live and the awesome, awesome God who is in charge of this world. He not only created this world, that in itself is a miraculous event, but He takes care and governs every detail of everything that's going on in our world today. And we can know that God in a general way. It is knowing about God. Knowing that He is there, not yet at this point knowing Him intimately. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we know about this God. We know what He has done. We know how He operates. We know that He is there. And that's a big part of that. Perhaps you can compare it to calling a minister in a congregation. You have considered a certain pastor to call as a congregation, and you have heard about him. You've heard that he preaches well. You've heard that he has gifts in visiting or teaching, and you get information about this person, and you know about him. You know all about him, and based on what you know about him, you decide as a congregation to call this man. It's not until he is here that you get to know him more intimately. That's the difference of what is happening between general revelation and special revelation. It's the difference between knowing about God, no commitment made, just knowing about God, and knowing him intimately. It's a shame that the English language doesn't have two different words for the word know. And I say in the English language because in the Spanish language it's easier for me to teach this concept to them. Because there's one concept, one word that they have that is knowing about God, and one word that they have, another word that they have that's knowing someone or knowing God in this case intimately. The two words are conocer and saber. And they know the difference. And so I say general revelation is conociendo a Dios, knowing God, about God. And special revelation is conocerlo intimamente, knowing him intimately. And they know exactly what that's all about. We don't have that distinction in the English language in terms of those two concepts. That's really what it's all about. Because the general revelation is not sufficient for us to be saved. For that, God has to reveal himself in a special way to those whom he has called to himself. That's what the second part of the Belgian Confession is all about. Second, we read there, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word, that is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life to his glory and for our salvation. This special revelation now is not general for everybody. It is specifically designed for those whom God has called to himself to know God in a salvific, in a salvation way. To receive the gift of salvation that he offers to us and to know him as our personal Lord and Savior, as our Father who watches over us in that way. God reveals himself in this way, in this special way, through the word that he has given to us. God has not allowed sin to stop us from getting to know him. He set that plan in motion for the salvation of the world. And that plan is set in motion by him providing an opportunity for us to know him in an intimate way in our lives. That's where verses 7 to 11 come to play in Psalm 19. In verses 7 through 11, we have verse after verse, six synonyms, if you will, about the Word of God. And each one of these synonyms about the Word of God, I want you to follow along with me in your Bibles with this, because at this point I usually have my students discussing what each one of those means. I won't do that with you. But I want you to see that each one of these synonyms about the Word of God present what the synonym is, first of all, and then the quality of what that synonym, what the Bible is, what is this Bible, and what the result is on each one of those. For instance, in verse 7, one of the synonyms for the Bible is that it is the law of God, the law of the Lord. What is it like? It's perfect. And so what does it do? It revives the soul. What's another synonym? The statutes of the Lord. What is it like? It is trustworthy. What does it do? It makes wise the simple. Another synonym. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. Oh, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, so what about this now? What is it like? They are right. And what do? They give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord, another synonym. The commands of the Lord. What does it say about the Bible? They are radiant. What is it like? It's radiant. What does it do? It gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord, another synonym of verse 9. What is it like? It's pure. What does it do? It endures forever. The ordinances of the Lord, what is it like? They are sure and altogether righteous. That's what it does for us. It makes us righteous. And then, of course, the psalmist just can't stop from expressing, as he is inspired by God's Holy Spirit, how marvelously special this word is in his life. And at that time, it was 5 books of Moses that they had. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. God is so gracious to us that He reveals Himself to us, and we don't have to guess who He is or how He is or what He does. He gives us His Word. And He says, you want to know who I am? Here it is. Study it, learn it, put it into practice, and you will know who I am. And the more time you spend with God, the more, as Peter says, you will be able to think His thoughts after Him. In the same way that in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife, after many years, my wife and I just celebrated 35 years of marriage, we know how each other thinks. Why? Because we spend a lot of time with each other, and we get to know each other intimately, all the details, even the warts that are part of that. But that's the same as our relationship with God. That's how God reveals Himself to us. By taking the time to study His Word around family devotions, studying His Word in your own personal devotions, Bible studies, catechism, services of worship, get to know God. He wants to reveal Himself to you in that special way. And that's why we have this gift of the Word of God that is a part of that. David knew what that was all about, and that's what he is reflecting on. You see, it is not enough for our conscience to lead the way. Many times, people will say, you know, your conscience will lead you along in terms of how it is that you are to live your life. And they'll ask you, if you're doing something, does your conscience bother you or not? Well, for one person, an activity may bother their conscience, and for another, it may not. Because over time, our conscience can be dulled. The more we do an activity that we know that is wrong, over time we become resilient to that. We don't even recognize anymore that it's wrong, and it doesn't bother our conscience anymore. So does it mean then that if it doesn't bother my conscience, it's okay for me to do it, and if it bothers your conscience, it's not okay for you to do it? Our conscience is not the ultimate guide. Unless our conscience is guided by God's Holy Spirit. And as we get to know who God is, this really is the guideline for us in terms of what is right and what is wrong in our life. And unless we get to know who God is, our consciences will not be directed and guided by His Holy Spirit, which is a gift to us to guide us along in our lives. If I need to catch an airplane, and I get to the airport, and the airplane leaves at 10 o'clock, and my watch says it's about 9:45, and I'm there, and I'm all on time and everything according to my watch, and I get there, and they say, I'm sorry, the flight has left. I say, I don't think so. My watch says it's only 9:45. They say, well, I don't know about your watch. It may not be working. But here we don't go by your watch or this watch or that watch or that watch. We go by Greenwich Mean Time. That's the standard time that an entire world has a standard, and that's what our planes leave on, 5 hours before that or 5 hours after that, depending on the time zone. There is a guideline that has been set for times in our world. And that's the same thing as our Word, the Word of God for us in our lives. That is the guide. That's the pivotal point for us to turn to as the ultimate guide for anything that goes on in life. Nothing else really matters except for the Word of God. And that's the Word that God has revealed Himself through. We need to see this as a part of the way that we live our lives. Things will go smoothly in our world as long as we follow this guideline of the truth through which God has revealed Himself to the entire world in a general way and to us as Christians in a special way. In a way that leads us to salvation in our lives. When we begin to ask some of these questions, then we can reflect on what David concludes at the end of his psalm. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. He looks at this word and he says, you know what? I'm seeing things in here that don't match up to the way that I'm living my life. I have faults. Rather than accommodate myself to the faults and make excuses for it, I need to line myself up to what God has revealed in His Word. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. How easy it is for us to be ruled by sin. It's natural. That's the natural part of our humanity. To be ruled by the sin that, borrowing from this morning's message, that lingering that goes on in our lives, and to let that fester. But the psalmist says, Lord, help me to understand your revealed word. Understand who you are as you have revealed yourself. And accommodate myself to what you are expecting me to live in my life. And then he has, it's kind of like a doxology right at the end there, isn't it? May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. Do you know God? There's a sense in which all of us know Him in a general way. No excuse. Romans 1:20. The question is, do you know God in that special way? He's revealing Himself to you. Just as you are studying His Word and listening to this message, He's revealing Himself to you. Are you responding? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. God is a God who doesn't allow sin to stop us from getting to know who He is. Sin ruined our relationship with God. But our merciful God has provided an opportunity for us to know Him not only generally, throughout creation, but to know Him in a saving way through the Word that He has given to us. Feed on it day by day. Let's bow our heads. Father,